You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Back at it with you on a Thursday, switching from SOS to the gym class. I forgot my gym shorts and t-shirt, though, so I'm still in my regular attire. Spencer Wagon sitting in for Scott Unash again today as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here on KGYM, joined by Mark Dukes here in just a moment. I won't forget it today. Don't worry. I'm good. I know the sponsor, DuPaco Community Credit Union. There we go. We're good. I remembered it. I don't have 15 people texting and waving those weird things they have at the airport at me like, hey, you moron, you forgot to say something. Don't have that today. I remembered it. DuPaco Community Credit Union, sponsoring the gym class each and every weekday from 3 until 4 here at KGYM. Love to hear from you today, 319-366-1600. And Mark, we had an audible for the guest today. We were going to have David Eicholt from 24/7 Sports. Late change, it is his colleague Sean Bach joining us from 24/7 Sports at 3:30. Sean covers football, men's basketball, recruiting stuff. So we got kind of a smorgasbord with Sean coming up. But that's okay. We are appreciative of the late switch, and we'll get to him coming up after 3:30. Another hoops-heavy show today as we had a lot of things happen within the last 24 hours, both on the court and off the court as well. And some good games happening today. We've got the Big Ten women's basketball tournament here today. Michigan leading Penn State up in Minneapolis. Had one game get done earlier today there as well. And we had Arch Madness kick off with a nice win for you and I. How are you doing today?
Doing well, Spencer. Good afternoon to you and everyone out there, Isaac. And, it just, as the week goes on, it just gets more and more fun, doesn't it?
It does.
I mean, yeah. The games become more meaningful, although there were some meaningful games last night in the Big Ten and elsewhere, and as you mentioned, meaningful happenings off the court after our show yesterday.
The moment I sat down at my desk, I see an email pop up from Iowa State University Athletics with news that one of their best three-point shooters and one of their key players, he had a big performance against North Carolina. He's turned in some big performances throughout the season, but dealing with that back injury that he sustained against Texas, but still a key piece to this program, Caleb Grill, no longer on the team. There's not much the school can say or will say about this, not much the team will say or can say about this, but nothing short of a surprise. And I know listening to TJ Otzelberger earlier today and seeing the reaction from Cyclone fans all across social media, just a kick in the gut, really, for this one.
No specifics, as you might expect, but it must have been significant enough for him to be kicked off the team for not living up the expectations of the program, I think was the phrase used by Iowa State, and the Cyclones cannot afford any more bad news.
Right.
After going into a tailspin here, going to Baylor on the weekend, and then heading into the Big 12 tournament, but you're going to have to get it done without Grill, and it won't be easy.
Yeah, TJ Otzelberger is saying in the very short press release that was put out that they hold their players to high standards. There are expectations that their student-athletes are held accountable for. Again, the reasoning given in the initial offering from Iowa State was the failure to meet program expectations. Now, Grill did go on Twitter last night, put out a lengthy statement, multiple screenshot of the word processor on your phone, whatever it might have been, did say, and this is, again, all he said, and I think really all we're going to know in this scenario in the end, but he said something I regret, which cost the opportunity to finish out my dream at Iowa State, and then asked for forgiveness from players and fans for that. I don't think we're going to know exactly ever know what was said. TJ Otzelberger said, kind of repeated earlier today, You know, there are standards we have set. We need to meet those standards. We decided to move on, and we will move on.
It's tough because Grill was in the Iowa State program and then went to UNLV.
Right.
Followed Otzelberger there, and then came back to Iowa State when TJ became the head coach. Mm-hmm. I, you know, looking from the outside in, I would think there'd be a pretty good relationship between the two up till now.
Yeah, and there certainly was. And, you know, maybe it was an accumulation of things that led to this point. Caleb did shed light on dealing with mental health struggles. We heard that from Patrick McCaffrey for the University of Iowa team. Obviously, Patrick took that mental pause. Caleb, it sounds like, decided to play through those struggles, and maybe that was impacting his role on the court. I don't know. But, of course, there was that back injury. I pulled up his game log earlier. He had a few good games, but you know, since that moment, but didn't look like himself a lot of the time. And that game against West Virginia on Monday, I think he played like 12 minutes, you know, and had been seeing limited time. He had been called for a number of technical fouls down here, so really not acting like himself. So maybe it was, you know, just an accumulation of things that that led to it. Of course, he got a technical foul in that game Monday night. So certainly a big loss. Iowa State has proven, though, that they can win when he's not playing all that well. Of course, now he's not on the team at all, so it's much different than, you know, playing well while he's still on the team, but maybe not producing, and now he's not there in case you need him in a spot where you need a big big three or a big shot. So there's two kind of different sides of the coin there. But like you said, it's been a tough stretch here. Four straight losses in six of the last seven, and now one of your best players, one of your best shooters, when he's healthy, fully healthy, is not on the team. And they can't really handle much more bad news, because four straight losses, I'm not picking them to beat Baylor on the road on Saturday. Stranger things have happened. The Big 12 is a weird league. It's a good league. But, you know, five straight losses, potentially a sixth in the Big 12 tournament, and then who knows what happens in the NCAAs. Not the spot you want to be in if you're Iowa State.
No, the bench wasn't that deep in the first place for Iowa State, and now the depth of this team is really challenged, and maybe it's only a seven-man rotation for Iowa State. Not saying the Cyclones can't get it done, but it's the road and the mentality of this team, losing six of seven, and now losing a guy like Grill who can pop in three or four three-pointers when he's healthy. So we'll see what happens this weekend and into next week.
Iowa State again playing at Baylor. Currently sixth in the Big 12 at a 17-12 overall record. Of course, they have fallen here with those four straight losses in six of the last seven here, 8-9 in conference play. I don't have the tiebreakers in front of me here, but sixth in the league would obviously be the sixth seed. Still games to be played here this weekend, but far cry from where they were when they were what, like a half game out of first.
Right.
And the season has really kind of turned the corner here in a bad way for Iowa State. So we'll see how that all plays out this weekend, but Iowa State will be moving forward without one of their key players this year, and even into next too. He's no longer with the program. Did express his gratitude. If you read the post, if you read anything on this topic, he expressed his gratitude for Iowa State, and the old "I'll forever be a Cyclone" line that you usually see. But if he does play, and it sounds like the stuff I've read, he wants to play another final year, it's going to be somewhere other than Ames.
Yeah, he's kind of taking the high road, and good for him. But that's kind of end of story.
Yeah.
Between the two and Grill and Iowa State.
319-366-1600. Your thoughts welcome in the Talker text line at 314 here on the Gym Class. Let's move into the action we saw earlier today, Mark. keeping people up to date with the latest happenings. Northern Iowa racing out to a big lead in that one, had a big halftime advantage. I left my desk when they were up by 22 points and doing some work in here, getting ready for Spencer on sports. And I look up at the television and that lead was down to 6. But you and I came out and ended up winning by 13, 75-62. So all's well that ends well, I guess, is the takeaway for that one.
I'm kind of with you. I was watching the game and then went back to my computer and did some show prep and some other things and came back out, and it was a 6-point game. And you and I appeared to be in trouble, but did advance. It will play number one seed Bradley tomorrow in the next round. Third victory over Illinois State this year, and
10 in a row, I think, right, over Illinois State?
Yeah. But this is the type of thing Ben Jacobson does. I mean, Bourne was really good today. Mm-hmm. Michael Duax out of Dubuque, the freshman, redshirt freshman, 19 points in the game. Bottom line is you and I staved off a dangerous situation and got the W.
Got the win, 75-62, like you said. Date with number one Bradley. Of course, Bradley swept the season series with the Panthers this year, 68-53 in Peoria, and then 77-69 back on February 4th at the McLeod Center in Cedar Falls.
Tough matchup for the Panthers.
Yeah. I mean, you know, not you know, if you're not a lot of people were going to pick. I don't think anybody was going to pick you and I to, you know, advance past Bradley if they did win today. So it's only going to be a tall task, but maybe a little March magic for Coach Jacobson. We'll see what happens. But I think Bradley, we talked with Kevin Lehman yesterday. He was on the call today on the TV broadcast of the game. And I think we're headed toward Bradley Drake part 3. I think that's what we're going for. Here, at least that's what we all want to see, right? Like, upsets happen. I think Belmont, Kevin said this yesterday, Belmont and Indiana State, if that matchup does happen, Indiana State is up big on last place Evansville at last check. I think one of those teams could give Bradley a run in the semifinals.
Yeah, and Belmont's beat Bradley twice, I think. Yeah. So, as Kevin pointed out, so it's going to be a fun time, tournaments this weekend. The Big Ten Women's Tournament going on right now, as you mentioned. Iowa women in action tomorrow night tomorrow late afternoon, 5:30, against either Wisconsin or Purdue. That game coming up here in a short period of time. So lots of fun times.
Yeah, Wisconsin-Purdue, like you said, at 5:30 tonight. Winner will play Iowa tomorrow. Earlier today, we saw Michigan State beat Nebraska in the women's tournament, and I mentioned this last hour, too. Michigan State, one of two teams that handed Indiana a loss this year.
Right.
So you got Michigan State and Indiana playing again. I think Indiana's got a ton to play for. They're going to be motivated, especially with how the game on Sunday ended in Iowa City. But something to watch. Michigan State plays everybody tough. They might not be the best team in the Big Ten, but Iowa went up there to East Lansing and won in overtime, 84-81, I think was the final there. And they beat Indiana up in East Lansing too, so it can be done. Mm-hmm. But I think the Hoosiers will have a little added motivation coming up for that game. Right now, Penn State, and late in the third quarter, 3-point lead on Michigan. So a Michigan team that not the same team as we saw last year, but still a really good team. Penn State, 3-point lead on Michigan. Michigan lost to Wisconsin to end the regular season, which is kind of surprising considering, Michigan's really good. Wisconsin's struggled for the last decade in women's basketball. But the 13 seed currently with the lead on Michigan up at the Target Center in Minneapolis. On the men's side, Iowa got a break last night.
Very much so.
They got a break last night. Maryland losing to Ohio State and then Northwestern falling to Penn State in overtime. That was a great game, that Northwestern-Penn State game last night. Kind of surprised to see both results, but it's the Big Ten. I guess anything can happen, right?
Exactly. Ohio State 73-62 over Maryland. And just watching that game, Captain Obvious, anything can happen in the tournament. Mm-hmm. But the way Ohio State played, I don't want to play that team necessarily.
Right.
They've had a poor year, but all they have to play for is a title. Mm. And they're going to come out motivated with Sensabaugh and others.
Yeah.
And they played really, really well last night against a very good Maryland team. How does it affect Iowa? Well, it clinched. Should Iowa beat Nebraska on Sunday, it will help in clinching the double bye situation for the Hawkeyes. Mm-hmm. And Iowa could get as much as high as a 2 seed.
Yeah.
Think about that.
0-3 in the Big Ten.
At the first of the year, 0-3 in the Big Ten. You wondered if this team was even going to get to 500 in the league.
Right.
And look at them now.
Potential to be the 2 seed. You just need Michigan. And I asked this question. I'll pose it to folks out there in Radio Land at 319-366-1600. Do you need Michigan to lose at least once? And, of course, you need Iowa to beat Nebraska, which I think they have a greater than 80% chance to do, considering it's at home. And Nebraska's been playing well, but you should win at home. That's just how the Big Ten has played out. So you need Michigan to lose once. They have Illinois and Indiana left. Who would you rather pull for to beat the Wolverines, Illinois or Indiana? 319-366-1600. Because I know Iowa fans just love both those schools.
That's a good point.
Illinois and Indiana.
That's a good point.
Which team are you pulling for the most to beat Michigan, Illinois or Indiana? 319-366-1600.
Yeah, and we'll have that game tonight on KGYM Radio.
Yes.
Michigan and Illinois right after the Todd Brommelkamp show.
Yep.
Another interesting game tonight in the Big Ten, Purdue and Wisconsin.
Yes.
That's our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. Will Purdue beat Wisconsin tonight in Madison? Yes or no? Purdue? Thanks to Hawkeye Title and Settlement.
Absolutely. Thanks to Steve Anderson and his crew at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. I talked about this a little bit last hour, too. Purdue has shown some flaws here down the stretch. Of course, lost at Indiana, lost at Northwestern, lost at Maryland. Of course, lost at home to Indiana, got swept by the Hoosiers for the season series. They've struggled on the road here down the stretch. You've got Wisconsin, who is, according to Joe Lunardi, his last bracketology update, the second-to-last team in the field. Does Wisconsin win? That's a totally fair question because Wisconsin has played okay at home. They're not, you know, Maryland levels of good at home. The Badgers are 9-5 at their place this year. But still,
A lot of motivation for the Badgers.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of motivation. Purdue has not fared well on the road of late. Something, an interesting trend I talked about, too. You notice since February 2nd, Wisconsin has alternated wins and losses.
Mm.
And their last game was a loss at Michigan. So if that trend continues, does that mean they beat Purdue? Obviously, it's not an exact science because, you know, I think Purdue's the better team there, but you don't know what could happen.
Right.
And, you know, granted, and this is kind of the caveat of that, you know, the alternated wins and losses argument. If they beat Purdue, Wisconsin's final game is at Minnesota. So if they're continuing to alternate wins and losses, does a loss to the worst team in the Big Ten cancel out a win over the best team? I think it does. I think it's a net neutral, and I think it actually might lean toward a net negative for Wisconsin, if that's indeed how it plays out. Just because, I mean, win over Purdue is great, but you lose to Minnesota, that's
a killer.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
That might knock you out of the tournament,
right?
Considering what else might happen here heading into championship week. But
what about Northwestern? You know, they were flying really high.
They were.
Still playing pretty good basketball, but kind of hit a lull here. A little bit.
3 straight losses for them.
Yeah.
Ever since that 20-point win over Iowa, they've lost 3 in a row. Now, granted, you know, they're not been an easy. I thought they were going to beat Penn State last night, so, you know, I'm wrong there. But they had to play at Illinois and at Maryland. They had a huge lead on Illinois, which I think is the, you know, the kind of the eye opener there. Like a little bit of a letdown coming off the 20-point home win over Iowa. It's tough to win at Maryland, so I don't know if I was counting that as a win. Mm-hmm. I thought it was maybe a 50-50 game, considering how talented Northwestern is this year. But three straight losses going into a game against Rutgers, certainly kind of an interesting spot to be in if you are Northwestern. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that earlier, and going back to Ohio State briefly, the bottom half of the Big Ten bracket. I mean, you've got a couple teams that are bubble teams in there with Penn State and Wisconsin. You've got Nebraska, who's been playing well here down the stretch. Just lost to Michigan State the other night, of course, gave up 54 points in the second half. But you've also got Ohio State in there, who has maybe found a little bit of a bounce back here. They're 5-14. I think from 1 to 13 in the Big Ten, not counting Minnesota, obviously, but you've got some dangerous teams in there.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's very basic analysis, but I mean, Ohio State, if they've decided to put it all together here, and I'm not saying, you know, two wins is two wins. It's not, you know, a guarantee that they're going to get it all figured out and go on a tear here and win the Big Ten tournament. But they can get some momentum in Chicago. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I'm not going to pick them to win it, but I wouldn't be surprised if they won a game or two, because they certainly have the talent to do it. They hit a really, really tough stretch in there where they lost, 14-15?
Mm-hmm.
And now they've seemed to bounce back here at the end.
Yeah, 96-63 on the text line. Please feel free to weigh in, 366-1600. Just tuned in. Wanted to know the chance for Iowa to get a double bye, and it is assured if the Hawkeyes beat Nebraska.
Yeah.
Because of the result, Maryland getting beat last night. And Iowa could also use an Illinois victory tonight over Michigan, which could end up resulting, pending in a victory over Nebraska, could result in a two seed.
Yeah. Again.
Hopefully that answers your question.
'Cause Iowa holds the tiebreaker over Maryland. Beat them in the only head-to-head meeting. They hold the tiebreaker over Indiana. They hold the tiebreaker over Illinois as well. They split with Northwestern this year. And they also won the head-to-head over Michigan, the only time they played at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. So if Michigan and Iowa both have an 11-8 record, or 12-8, considering what could happen here down the stretch, Iowa would hold the tiebreaker. So those tiebreakers are important. And I think Iowa got lucky. The schedule gods, if there are such a thing, they got lucky in the fact that some of those tiebreaker games were at home. Because if the struggles we've seen, and who knows what's to happen, because that narrative got kicked to the curb the other night with Iowa's win over Indiana. Mm-hmm. But especially early season where Iowa was still trying to figure things out, if you're playing Michigan at Michigan, if you're playing Maryland at Maryland, if you're playing Illinois at Illinois, I think maybe those games go a little bit different. But they were in Iowa City. Iowa got the wins. They hold the tiebreakers, and that's big.
Yeah. It could potentially be big. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll see what transpires between now and Sunday and Monday when we reconvene. We'll be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
But when we reconvene on Monday, we'll know the brackets for the Big Ten and mm-hmm. and analyze that. And
we'll know Big 12 brackets, too.
And Big 12 brackets.
Arch Madness will be crowned, so we'll have a lot to talk about on Monday's show. But plenty of stuff to get to here yet today. Sean Bock will be joining us from 24/7 Sports coming up in just a bit, pinch hitting for David Eicholt, who's got Iowa football players are meeting mm-hmm. with the media today at 3:30. So David's got that. So he's like, hey, Sean, can you join us? Sure. So we called that audible. We'll have Sean joining us coming up here in just a little bit. Before we get to that, I should mention, too, later on in the show, Bowling Night in America recap. I neglected to mention that. So we'll get the latest coming up after we talk with Sean here in just a little bit. Before we get mm-hmm. to Sean, let's get everybody an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update.
Girls State basketball tournament continuing in Des Moines. Just finished up an all-Benton County matchup in the semifinals. Benton Community defeated Vinton Schulzberg for the third time this year, 51-42. Benton will play for a state championship against either Solon or Sioux Center. Those teams going at it right now. Bill Finley, Iowa State women's basketball coach, reports that Stephanie Suarez wants to return to the team next year after she was injured earlier. Paperwork being filed.
Okay.
PGA Bay Hill Classic in Florida. Zach Johnson out early. Birdied his last hole to complete a one over par 73. This is the toughest course on the PGA Tour, at least last year. Stealing from Spencer's Collector's Corner, a twice-used Joe Montana jersey, twice used in the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow.
Sold for $1.2 million.
Wow.
Yesterday. That pretty much doubled the highest jersey sale held by Tom Brady.
Interesting.
A Tampa Bay jersey.
Sure.
So $1.212 million. Montana wore it in two Super Bowls.
Okay. All right.
So that would raise the value,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. 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 That's pretty cool.
Finally, tonight, Pete Maravich's NCAA career scoring record could fall. Detroit Mercy's Antoine Davis needs 26 points tonight against top-seeded Youngstown State in the Horizon Tournament. To surpass Pete Maravich. Important differences here. Maravich played in a time where there were no three-point goals and freshmen were not eligible, so he played three seasons. Davis is playing his fifth season. He's played 143 games. Pete Maravich played 83.
So some differences, yeah.
And Davis has 584 three-point goals.
Sure.
So, in this time of the COVID extra eligibility, on and on and on, to me, this is an asterisk.
The purists will say it's still Pistol Pete's. The modernists will say, he's got the record. We saw the same conversation with Jordan Bohannon, though, didn't we?
Sure.
With the records he broke at the at Iowa and the Big Ten records he broke. So,
oh, we're going to see in the Big Ten wrestling tournament, too.
Right.
You're going to have five-time NCAA qualifiers and on and on and on.
That's
so
the long and short of it.
Yeah.
This is the time, that's the time we live in, whether you agree with the record being broken there or not with that. But still impressive, though, nonetheless. So no matter how you feel, I mean, to get to that point, like it seemed like a untouchable record.
Son of Mike Davis, the former Indiana coach.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Who's, I think, is Detroit Mercy's coach.
Yes, yeah, I think he is. Yeah, he was at UAB for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do he was okay at Indiana.
I mean,
he didn't ever take them to the heights that was expected of him, but he did a lot better than, Archie Miller and Tom Crean in Indiana. So, yeah, but it should be interesting. That's on ESPN Plus if you want to watch. UW-Milwaukee, the Panthers, also in action, taking on Wright State, for those of you looking for whatever reason, a Wisconsin tie to that. I don't know why you'd look for that in Eastern Iowa, but you might. 3:33, we'll take a quick timeout. Sean Bach from 24/7 Sports will join us. Talk some Hawkeyes. Sounds like there's a big, fairly big recruiting weekend, a junior day this weekend. He might have some insights on that. We'll also ask him about men's basketball and more coming up in just a bit. It's the Gym Class brought to you by DePaki Community Credit Union here on the Gym.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we're in for a cloudy day with temperatures held close to 40 degrees, much cooler than yesterday. Later on tonight, we'll drop down into the upper 20s with mostly cloudy skies, and tomorrow we are going to have a mix of sun and clouds as a winter storm passes down to our south, and temperatures will rise into the low 40s. On Saturday and Sunday, we'll have temperatures climbing into the mid to upper 40s with dry conditions. That's your latest Iowa News Now weather first forecast.
It's that time of year again.
What time is that, Clayton?
Wedding band season.
Hey, we are Joseph and Clayton Hoyt.
And we're stoked to let you know about our 11th annual wedding band show and sale.
The sale is 2 days only, March 4th and 5th. So put it on your calendar and set a reminder.
It's the biggest wedding band show in the Cedar Rapids area.
Newly engaged? Perfect timing.
Married for a while?
It's a great time to update those rings.
We'll be showcasing our top designers, including Noam Carver, Crown Ring, Carlex, and Blue Royale.
You and your fiance will find something that you both love.
Check out our website or call us to schedule your time to look over this incredible selection.
We'll also have excellent financing options.
And we'll throw in a free groove silicone band and a torque sports wedding band on the house with any purchase of precious metal rings during the show.
This is the biggest wedding band show in the Cedar Rapids area.
And it's only at Siebke Hoyt Jewelers in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, corner of Collins and First Ave.
Call to set up your appointment today.
Update your home and get 11% off all countertop at Menards. Menards countertops are durable, dependable, affordable, and easy to install. Transform everyday spaces into gathering places with Menards' great selection of quartz and laminate countertop. Visit our kitchen showrooms in store or go to Menards.com to get started on your update today and save 11% on all countertop at Menards. Good through March 5th, savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
I'm Mary Neubauer with the Iowa Lottery. March is National Problem Gambling Awareness Month when we highlight and remind Iowans that help is always available 24/7 here in our state.
And I'm Katie B. with the Iowa Department of Health and Human Services. Visit yourlifeiowa.org to learn more about problem gambling. Start the conversation today by text, live chat, or by calling 1-800-BETS-OFF.
It's free and confidential.
And it's something you can do anytime.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Hey, we're back, 3:36 here on the Gym Class. Spencer and Mark with you for another 25 minutes or so leading up till 4 o'clock. Todd Brommelkamp show on the way between 4 and 6. College basketball from Westwood 1, Illinois and Michigan tonight just after 6 here on KGYM. 309-366-1600 is the Talker text line if you want to interact with the show in the last half hour or so. But we are pleased to be joined by Sean Bach from 24/7 Sports. Appreciate him pinch hitting, calling an audible, whatever sports-related terms we want to use here as we bring Sean on live with us here on KGYM. Sean, we appreciate it. I know your colleague David Eicholt I don't know if he threw you in last minute, but we appreciate you calling an audible for us here today. How are you doing today?
Oh, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah, I think the term pinch hit would be better with baseball season coming up, so I think that's one we should run with.
I like it. All right. Hey, Sean, Iowa basketball. We've been talking, of course, about the big win over Indiana on Tuesday night. Win I don't think a lot of us really saw coming, considering Iowa's road struggles over the last several games. What impressed you most about that win going into Bloomington and getting that victory on Tuesday for the Hawkeyes?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that obviously stands out is the way that they shot the basketball. This team has really revolved, you know, itself and really has, you know, identified itself as an offensive team when it can shoot the basketball. And I know that sounds simple and it sounds like very cliche, but when this team is making shots, they're a completely different team. But one of the things that I think impressed me the most with this game was, or with this team win for Iowa, was Indiana was coming off an emotional win at Purdue. Iowa was coming off an emotional win against Michigan State. Both teams have a lot of reasons to, you know, kind of make this a let-up game, and obviously Indiana did so. But Iowa seemed to just be the more passionate team, the more team that was into it more, team that really seemed to want it more and really, you know, made it a point to get out on top from the jump and, you know, didn't look at it as a let-up game. They looked at it as an opportunity to take it, you know, to get a road win. And honestly, I'm a little surprised that Indiana didn't get up for it as much as, you know, I think a lot of people anticipated that team would. But credit to Iowa for doing it because, you know, Iowa has not really proven that they can shoot consistently on the road in many circumstances. I mean, I look at that Rutgers game. That was obviously an outlier. The Seton Hall game, you know, way back in November. But outside of that, there really hasn't been many road games where you look at this Iowa team and say, oh, wow, that was a really impressive road performance. But Indiana, I mean, that's a big win. I mean, Indiana's a team that a lot of people have talked about as an underdog Final Four team maybe, with the recent success they've had with Trace Jackson-Davis and Jalen Schifino. But for Iowa to go into Assembly Hall and, you know, really just beat the brakes off that team, it was really impressive.
Sean, of course, now Iowa could reach as high as a number two seed in the Big Ten tournament. Be honest with us. January 1st, Iowa dropped 0-3 in the Big Ten. What did you think was ahead for this team?
What I thought was ahead for that team was not a lot of good, you know, things. I mean, I think that next game after the Penn State game where they lost on the road was Indiana. While Indiana was, you know, not as to the point where they are now, they were still a talented team. And then you had Rutgers on the road. And Rutgers at that point, like, I think a lot of people were considering them to be a top three Big Ten team at that point, considering the home court advantage that they have and, you know, the start that they had to the year. Yes, they dropped some games, but they were also coming off a five-game winning streak, including a road win at Purdue and then a home win at Maryland. I didn't expect a ton. I mean, I know we talk about Iowa's offense and how they've been able to rely on their offense the last few seasons, but you just weren't seeing it click. You knew they were capable, but you just weren't seeing it click. And obviously defense, that's never really going to be a strength for a Fran McCaffrey team in Iowa City. So the offense really has to make up for a lot of that. So I thought, you know, with the offense lacking at certain points and, you know, I mean, I even forgot to mention the Eastern Illinois game. That was one that I think a lot of people, you know, chalked up as a potential season ender all the way back in December. And to see this team really turn around has been really impressive to see. And, you know, I think you got to give a lot of credit to, you know, not just the staff and, you know, the coaches for kind of, you know, embedding that belief in the players, but also this team. You know, yes, they haven't had the best shooting nights, and that's where they're really where they need to be good at to make a run the NCAA tournament, but they're just a resilient team. I know that's something that, you know, I think is really underrated with a lot of college basketball, you know, teams. I mean, obviously it's a big talking point in the NBA, but I think with this Iowa team, just the resilience is really impressive. And to see them, you know, really come together and, you know, not really give up when a lot of outside noise has kind of wrote them off all the way back, you know, in December and early January. So to see these guys really around, you know, rally around each other and, you know, put wins together has been really, really good to see for them.
Conversation we were having yesterday, excuse me, on the show, Sean, was about Iowa's most impressive win of the season. And the question we were talking about is the game from Tuesday night going into Bloomington the most impressive win this season for the Hawkeyes? And I guess I'll ask you, do you think that was the most impressive win for Iowa this year, Tuesday night going into Bloomington and winning that game? Or is there another game that pops in your mind as maybe the most impressive game that they've played this year so far?
Yeah, I think with recency bias, that is probably the most important one or the biggest one. Most impressive one. I think, you know, with the way Indiana was playing, it's kind of, you know, a lot of people, I don't remember what the exact spread was, but I think I had Indiana winning by 10 or something. With the way Indiana's played too and coming off that win against Purdue, that was what impressed me the most. And for Iowa to do that on the road and to shoot as well as they did, I think that's certainly up there. You know, back in, I think if Rutgers was a little bit better, you know, hadn't really slipped like they had as of losing four of the last six, I think you could maybe throw that game in there when Iowa went to Jersey Mike's Center and won back on January 8th, shot the ball really well. And that was a Rutgers team that a lot of people, I think they were ranked like 16th, 17th, or 18th, something along there. And Iowa just went into New Jersey and, you know, kind of started a big run for this team and, you know, started to really ignite. And that's where I think a lot of people realize that this team could, you know, potentially do something even with the early season struggles. But I would go with that Indiana win in Bloomington. I think that's probably the most impressive one.
Sean, part of Sunday's game against Nebraska will be Senior Day. Iowa will congratulate and applaud Connor McCaffrey and Philip Rabracha. I want to get your impression. We know about Chris Murray and what Tony Perkins has done lately and Sanford's resurgence, but these two guys in different ways have meant a lot to this team this year. I wondered if you'd give your opinions on that.
Yeah, I definitely think Connor, you know, it's crazy to think, you know, how long his career has been with all the COVID stuff. And obviously he had that redshirt year as a freshman, and, you know, it honestly feels like forever ago. But he's received a lot of flack in his career. I mean, it's one, the term that, you know, I always go back to when it comes to a coach's son is like, the kid's either got to be the best player on the team or the worst player on the team, and Connor is neither. So it kind of puts Fran in a difficult spot. But I think with, you know, with Connor, just to see the turnaround that he's had this year, he's finally playing healthy, you know, finally really looks like what a lot of people expected him to be. I know he really doesn't do a lot of things that are flashy, but when Iowa has needed a shot, or has at least needed a three-point shot, he's delivered more often than not. I know he's shooting 34% this year, but that's been a really big boost from the last couple of seasons. I mean, I know last year he shot just around 33, but he wasn't shooting as much as he had this, as he is this year. So to see him, you know, really take on that leadership role and, you know, kind of be that calming presence and that guy that can not only, you know, dribble or handle the ball, but also guard multiple positions, guard guys that are taller, physical, you know, stronger than him, and, you know, put up with that and then also give maximum effort on offense and impact the game, you know, with his passing, with his spacing, with him just being an extra passer in there, has been really impressive. And, you know, I think a lot of people are going to really miss him. I know I feel like a lot of Iowa fans have really underappreciated him in the last couple of seasons. I think what he's done the last year, I mean, this year especially, I think, you know, he deserves a lot of credit for that. And then Phillip, I mean, that's another guy who a lot of people are skeptical about him coming into Iowa. And, you know, I think there are some reasons to think that, yes, he's undersized and maybe Fran should have gotten someone who's around 6'10", 6'11". But Phillip's really made up for it, I think, with his, you know, foot speed in different areas as opposed to some of the other big men he goes up against. And, you know, this year he's really come into his own and really proved his toughness and, you know, what I think a lot of people expected him to be to come into Iowa. I mean, I knew he was not going to have that role that he had in North Dakota, but for him to come in this year, and, you know, he said from the beginning he had a chip on his shoulder. I know Iowa wasn't able to land a big man in the portal, but Phillip was well aware that the Iowa staff was shopping for a big man, and he kind of took that personally. He kind of said, you know what, I get it, but, you know, I'm going to prove this year that, you know, I'm going to be the guy, and I'm going to do what, you know, the staff wanted, you know, another portal guy to do. And he's really done that. I think, you know, obviously there are times where he's mismatched with the size that other Big Ten big men have, but I think he's made up for it a lot with his toughness and, you know, with how he's just his basketball smarts and just his, you know, IQ.
Sean, before we let you go, I know you do a lot of recruiting stuff for 24/7, and I understand it's a junior day this weekend for Iowa football, correct? Anybody that is specifically coming into town that maybe Iowa has taken a pretty strong look at this weekend?
Yeah, no, there are a number of guys that are coming in. I mean, if you want to start with some of the in-state guys, ADM running back Brevin Dowell, who's picked up offers from Iowa, Minnesota and Purdue in the last couple of weeks. He's a guy that the Hawkeyes really like, and another in-state running back, Titus Cram from Bondurant Farrar. Iowa's battling Iowa State there. Those are two guys that Iowa feels pretty good about. Plan is for Drew Campbell from Cedar Falls, who Iowa really hasn't, you know, given a position to yet. He's probably going to project to defensive line, not linebacker like his brother, Jack, but he's a guy that, you know, Iowa feels like they're in pretty good shape with. Grant Bricks, an offensive lineman from Logan Magnolia. He's a big body guy. I think he's like 6'6", 285. Not a kid you typically see in Logan, Iowa. So he's coming to town. Iowa's battling Nebraska and Oklahoma there. There are a few out-of-state guys, too. I think most of the focus, though, for the staff this weekend seems to be on the offensive line. They have a couple big-time offensive line prospects coming in. I mentioned Bricks. Then they have Styles Prescott from Indianapolis, who has picked up Alabama, Notre Dame offers lately. Iowa's been in there since the fall. They have a couple other names, too, a couple 2025 guys that I think are pretty interesting. But it should be a good weekend. I don't know how many commits we'll see, but I think maybe one or two at the max. But I think it's good momentum, and it's a solid list for Iowa to get some momentum going into spring visits and then official visits, too.
Very good, Sean. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you again down the road. Have a great rest of the day.
Yeah, you too. Thank you guys for having me.
Sean Bach from 24/7 Sports. Appreciate his time here on KGYM as we roll along here on a Thursday on the Gym Class. 319-366-1600, the Talker text line. 5418 calling out my recollection of 20-year-old basketball. I trashed Mike Davis earlier, and I didn't forget, but thank you, 5418, for reminding me that he did coach Indiana to the national title game.
Is that his first
in
year?
2002. I think it was. First or second.
Yeah.
They lost to Maryland. Talk about future Big Ten battles there, but Indiana losing to Maryland with Juan Dixon and Steve Blake and Lonnie Baxter. Remember Lonnie Baxter? Woo, we are down the remember some guys portal. But seriously, thank you, 5418. My Mike Davis slander was not warranted. Still, though, I don't think, like, he had that run, but I don't think his time at Indiana ended the way.
Yeah, I think it slid after that national championship game.
Yeah, so partially warranted, I guess. 350 here on the Gym Class. Take a 60-second break. Back with a little bit more to wrap up the show today. We do have a Bowling Night in America recap on the way as well. It's coming up here on KGYM.
Looking for a reason to get away? We've got one. Wild Rose Casino and Hotel Clinton's $99 wild deal. A one-night stay in our recently renovated hotel and up to $50 in free play and dining credit. Book your stay anytime through April 15th. A one-night stay and up to $50 in free play and dining credit. Call 243-9000. Area code 563 to book your stay. 563-243-9000. Hurry, this offer is only available through Thursday. And only at Wild Rose Casino and Hotel Clinton. You'd rather be here.
Offer based on double occupancy. Must be 21 or older. Exclusions and blackout dates may apply.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Back here in the Gym Class at 3:51, coming up on 3:52. We mentioned the reason for David Eichholt's absence, but Sean, we appreciate him taking the time to chat with us here on the show. Did a great job filling in for David. But David talking with select Iowa football players outside the or at the football complex today, and Cade McNamara asked what a successful 2023 season looks like, and Cade's response was winning a Big Ten championship.
There you go.
So the bar has been set. Whether they reach that bar, we won't know.
Well, scoring 25 points a game, too.
Yes, absolutely. Right? Yeah, you got to get 25 points a game. You got to, you know, meet those numbers. But the bar has been set, at least by QB1, presumed QB1, for this season. I see Troy in Muscatine County is on the phone. I want to get to his comment here real quick. We do have to get to Bowling Night in America, but let's bring in Troy here this afternoon. Troy, what's on your mind?
I'm glad you brought up Coach Davis. I remember Coverdale being on that team, and I think I don't know if he finished out the prior season or started that season, and that team went all the way to the national final. I think it's his son who's going for the Pistol Pete record, right?
Yes.
Yep, yeah.
So he's probably playing in twice the games and has a three-point shot. Definitely hope there's an asterisk next to that. But I wanted to comment on Rabracha and Connor. And I didn't know they were 25 and 24 years old, respectively. And I guess, to me, that plays into it. If you've been around a program that long, this would be – I mean, you're basically a grad assistant. You should know the offense very well. You should know the schemes. And when you think of Connor, his background, both parents were great coaches, played 4 years for Bergman at West, and now 6 years in the Big Ten. Got a chance to know how to run the offense and defense at that point.
Great points, Troy. And, yeah, Davis has played 60 more games than Pistol Pete has played.
60 more games. I wonder how many three-pointers he has.
584.
Pete had, ridiculous.
You know how many Pete had, right?
Zero. Yeah. Well, conventional.
Exactly. Thanks, Troy.
Appreciate it, Troy. Troy joining us on the talk line, 319-366-1600. Again, you know, I understand it. I just, you know, it's going to get broken, so you got to, you know, just, I mean, I'm not losing sleep over it. Let's just put it that way. So 3:54, we got to get that Bowling Night in America recap here for you on the show. No Scott last night. He was in Des Moines. So how did things go?
It'll be brief because the Rusty Nails got drilled, pounded.
Oh, okay.
The Nails got pounded 25-5.
Ooh.
Slipping to seventh place in the Adult Evergreen League.
Oof.
Reasons for that. JB's Pizza had the second, third, fourth, and fifth top series in the league last night.
Mm.
It's tough to compete with.
Mm, yeah.
4-700 series, but that's what we signed up for, so we'll try her again next week. Doug Swoboda swept high game and series honors with a perfect 300 and 804 series.
All right. There you go. Better luck next week. Scott, I don't think Scott's going to be there next week either.
We may not see Scott till April. I don't know.
We'll see. But he's got Boys State next week, Girls State going on this week. Good luck to the teams that are still remaining here in both. Quick update on the Big Ten Women's. Michigan looks like they're going to finish off Penn State here, 63-59 in the Valley Tournament. Indiana State, really no surprise, they're having their way with last place Evansville, 64-40. Two more games left in Arch Madness tonight. Valpo and Murray State, and then Missouri State. It's kind of confusing. Murray State playing first, and then Missouri State playing second. Missouri State playing the Flames of UIC tonight in Arch Madness. We'll have an update on those, update on the Big Ten Women's tournament, and update on the Big Ten men's tomorrow too, because we got those three big games tonight. Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota, Rutgers. Is that a big game? I don't know. I said there are three big games, so I guess they're all considered big. And then Purdue and Wisconsin tonight as well. We'll look at the weekend ahead on tomorrow's show. Of course, we're going to have Iowa women's basketball tomorrow to talk about against either Purdue or Wisconsin in the Big Ten tournament. And then we're going to have Iowa men and Nebraska on Sunday. I'm going to be taking that game in at Carver on Sunday.
Nice.
I got tickets before they sold out, so I'm good there. But going to have a chance to take in the game on
Don't
Sunday.
Don't leave early, okay?
I will not. I am not a leave early person. I get it. I'm, you know, if you want to leave early, that's your right. But I am always a stay till the end person because I don't want to be that guy in a situation like that where, you know, you have a game like Michigan State
right.
happens and, like, I don't want to be...
You never leave a baseball game early either.
No. Yeah. I stay till the end, even if it's like a 12-2 game in the bottom of the fourth.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay till the end because it's fun. So, yeah, I'm not leaving early, but we'll talk about that and more coming up on Friday. I'll be in tomorrow and then at least for the first half of next week here in the gym class. So you get double Spencer here on KGYM. You get double Todd Brommelkamp. He's got the longest show out of all of us, 4 until 6 coming up here on KGYM, and then Illinois and Michigan to follow at 6. Have a great night, Mark. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Will do. Talk to you then.
KGYM, Todd Brommelkamp show on the way after this here on KGYM.